This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to Tigers on Tap, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are Trey Lasley and TJ Willis. Join the guys as they talk all things Memphis Tigers and their favorite beer. Turn your volume up, grab your favorite brew, and enjoy the conversation. Now, let's get to the show.
What's up? What's up? What's up? We're back. It's Trey. I'm back with, he loves big tight ends and he cannot lie, TJ. What's up, my man?
Another win. I cannot complain, sir.
Four in a row. One, two, three, four. That's like, I was looking at earlier. I think we've got like the fifth or sixth longest win streak in the nation.
Is that
obviously
good?
Obviously tied with some people, but solid couple of weeks. You just keep cranking them out, right?
Four in a row two seems pretty good.
2-0 in the American for the first time since 2016. So, hey, we control our own destiny right now. All right, first things first, sticking with the Oktoberfest theme, tell me what we got tonight, TJ.
We are going with High Cotton Oktoberfest. From the good folks over at High Cotton. We actually did a High Cotton, like, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago we did a High Cotton. Unfortunately, we're pretty limited in terms of all the local breweries that have Oktoberfest. There's basically only like four or five that have them canned.
Which is all we need, though, right? We got
perfect.
Four October games.
It fits. Pretty cool
it's
can.
Like they knew we were doing this.
I'm not going to dive in on it yet, but it's a pretty cool can.
Oh, I like it. It's very similar. I feel like, obviously, a lot of the local brews, their cans kind of all fall in line with one another, but very similar to the last High Cotton where it's like half, you know, the back half of the can, if you will, is a lot better than the front half, if that makes sense. Kind of a two-faced can here, if you know what I mean.
I'm with you. I'm following her.
All right. TJ, how about that Temple game?
Oh,
initial thoughts?
How about that Temple game? It was a stressful game, and it didn't need to be. I think we can agree on that. It was definitely some things you could take away from and say that you learned from watching it. But there's also, when it's all said and done, you came away with a win. So can you really complain too much?
Yeah, I mean, you say stressful. I would have said frustrating for the first 2.5 quarters. I mean, not having a single point on the board going into halftime, it was just a struggle for 2.5 quarters. I mean, really, actually, until like the end of the third quarter. But yeah, I mean, you found a way to get the win, a gritty win. But it's, I don't know, the last 2 weeks offensively, it's been a struggle, tough to watch. Summer, it was a lighter crowd. I think it's what, that's back to back weeks, the first time in a while since like 2013, I think, that we've had like 23,000. Or less in back-to-back weeks at a home game. Some of that is obviously, I think, Saturday day game. Some of it, people would argue, is the product that's been on the field. It's been I don't know, dull to say the least offensively. So, but hey, like you said, found a way to pull out the dub, moved to 2-0 in the conference. We're leading the conference now at 2-0, number one, first time since 16, like we mentioned earlier. You control your own destiny. So, hey, they keep winning games, ugly or not. Well, I think we'll end up where we want to be, right? Competing for a American title. I will say, it wasn't hot like 2 weeks ago, but I got absolutely fried in Simmons Bank on Saturday.
Yeah, so where we sit, I guess that's on the west side of the stadium. Is that right?
Yeah.
West side of the stadium? Just my whole left side completely roasted. No, my right's good. It was just my left side. Like the left side of my nose was temple red. Looked like a cherry on one side, white on the other. It was kind of wild.
Yeah. Got to, I guess it won't be a problem this week, but those day games, I got to remember to sunscreen up, man. It was rough. All right. It's a win as always. We're going to go with, good, bad, and beautiful. TJ, you want to kick us off with your good from Saturday?
Kick us off. You football pun. Hey. We kind of touched on mine already.
Hey, kickoffs have been good.
The kickoffs have been good. That should be one of the things we talk about. But my bad is actually the first nine drives on offense. You know, it was 203 yards, but a goose egg to show for it. You know, it's definitely not ideal. You had four consecutive punts, turnover on downs, punt the ball, turnover on downs, punt the ball, turnover on downs. And it's just, it's frustrating because you know that you're better than that. And you know that they can be better than that. And it was just little things kind of holding everybody back and drop passes. Going forward on fourth, I don't mind. You know, Temple had not shown, you were able to move the ball on them. Right. It wasn't for a lack of production. You just couldn't complete drives and you couldn't score. So, you know, for me, it was definitely the ability to move the ball, but not score, which is so stressful and frustrating to kind of combine what we both pointed out.
Yeah. Like you said, one of four on fourth downs isn't ideal. Yeah, I mean, we were definitely able to move it at times, but you're right. I mean, it was just it was finishing those drives out and getting points on the board, and just that fat goose egg for the first half. I will say I asked for your good, and you did give me a bad, so going a little off script here, Teej. But since you went bad, I guess
and get better, man.
I will share my bad. I mean, I feel like you could have picked a number of things offensively. I'm just going offensive line. Obviously, with the injuries, you're seeing some struggle, and with the guys that have left the team, but it just feels like Seth doesn't. There's not enough time. There's not enough time for the receivers to kind of get into their routes and get open. Seth doesn't have enough time to kind of sit in the pocket and wait for that to happen. Like, you know, he was the leading rusher on Saturday, 19 attempts, 60 yards. And those weren't, again, that's not designed runs. That's him having to take off, you know, because somebody's busted through the line. But like you said, I mean, it's guys losing one-on-one matchups. And it's not, you know, it's not three or four guys there. It's like one guy typically, right? And the staff talked about it. Seth mentioned it in his availability. Cramsey talked about it. It's just the details. Like, we got to be able to block, pass, and catch. And, like, you know, maybe it's a drop from a wideout that's on a sure first down and then the drive stalls, right? That's stuff that kills you. Or it's, you know, your tackle just getting beat one-on-one and somebody's a defender's in Seth's face immediately and the play just gets blown up right away, right? So, like, guys got to come out and they got to win their one-on-ones. And as soon as one guy messes up, it's kind of killing things. So, hopefully they, you know, they've talked about it. Most of it's all correctable stuff. So hopefully they get it figured out and, come out Friday and guys are winning their one-on-one matchups. Um, All right, what'd you now go ahead and give me your good since you wanted to skip to bad so quickly?
I just wanted to get out of the way, man. Go bad and just get better. For my good, I should say Kramzy listened to me and putting Hassel at fullback and going with the power run game down in the red zone.
I gotta say, yeah, shout out to old Krams. Seems to be a fan of the pod, but gotta give you credit there, Teej. You've been asking for that exact formation with the exact personnel for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's the only thing that made sense. Hassel's been a fullback forever. He knows how to block. He's used to putting a body on somebody. But I'm going to say my good was actually a combo of protecting the ball and only having one penalty. I'm not going to count that dumb Ryan Glover strip sack at the end of the game. The game was well in control at that point. Like, I'm not worried about that. But we clearly haven't been as efficient on offense as we have been in the past. You know, and last year we had the turnover bug and we were getting penalized left and right. And those are just two things that we were really bad at last year that we have done such a good job at this year and have shown vast improvement on. So for me, I take that as a good any day of the week. You know, I don't know where we're at nationally with penalties, but it does feel like they're down a lot. Not a ton of false starts. We definitely, knock on wood, on the fumbles, we have not had that issue again. That kind of lost us a couple games last year.
Yeah.
So just being able to say, hey, look at this. This was an issue, and we have greatly improved on it so far, you know, 5 games in. So for me, that's a win any day of the week. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree with you on, well, before we get to mine, I mean, yeah, there were definitely several, I would say 3 for sure last year that were troublesome areas that they've improved, right? Special teams being one. And if you go look at efficiency ratings, we're top 10 in the nation special teams wise. So obviously a complete 180 from last season. And then you touched on the other two, which were obviously last year we struggled protecting the ball. Yeah, we have, what, I think 3 total turnovers this season, 2 fumbles and a pick. And like you mentioned, Glover's the other day, game was in hand, and then the first fumble in week 1 Asa had against State, I mean, that game was over too. I mean, that was on the last drive of the game. So 2 of the 3 that we've had have been on our last drive of the game when the game's already over. And we're 2nd in the nation right now in turnover margin, +9. So the defense is getting takeaways, and the offense is, like you said, knock on wood, been taking care of the ball so far. And I don't know where we stack up nationally either, penalty-wise, but yeah, 1 penalty for 5 yards Saturday, so an improvement there as well. Obviously, there are still some things that we've struggled with, offensive line, DBs, that still need to get figured out, but I would say it's definitely a good sign that at least those 3 areas have seemed to be significantly improved from last season. For me, the good, I just went with covering. You know, we hadn't been great against the spread under Ryan. I think it got down to like 18.5 by kickoff. It opened at like 20.5. I actually teased it back up right before kickoff and went to 20.5. And shout out to the Tigs for covering that for me. So it was a little over even money. So nice little payday there on the Tigs after I'd lost the last 2 weeks. So for me, at least I'm 2-2 betting on the Tigs to cover the spread. So we'll see what happens this week, but shout out to them. I mean, when you're sitting there and it was 7-3 coming out of the third quarter, you're thinking no way. And I was just waiting for Temple to get that backdoor cover. They had 2 opportunities and we ended up picking them off both times. So my good was finding a way not only to win, but what do they say? Good teams find a way to win. Great teams cover.
I'll tell you what, man. The defense on that final drive was just wild. Because they were definitely going downfield and were going to make people lose a lot of money.
Yeah, and I don't know where EJ was throwing that last ball, but I mean, he threw it straight into Sincere's chest. I'm not exactly sure what was it. I think maybe, I don't know if he just wanted the game to be over. I don't know. But it looked like he was trying to throw it to Sincere.
Definitely not great, Bob.
All right. Beautiful. What was your beautiful from Saturday?
Hard to say anything was beautiful outright. I mean, it was just kind of an ugly game. But for me, it's hard to say anything other than maybe the defensive line. You know, we had Temple is not, you know, they haven't been a great running team all season, but they had 22 carries for 52 yards, which is 2.4 yards per carry. And, you know, 52 yards, that's just a wild number. You know, you don't see many teams getting held to 52 yards rushing. And it was just nice to see that, right? Just the ability to stop someone on the run, because they kind of mentioned pregame that was kind of their game plan, right? That, you know, they have multiple quarterbacks. They like to run the ball because, you know, the head coach is a former running back coach. So, you know, 22 carries again, 52 yards, 2.4 yards a carry. I just want to reiterate that, because 2.4 yards a carry is not a lot. And that is, that's an impressive number. I don't know the last time that we have held anyone to only 52 yards rushing. It's just, I don't know, kind of a shocking number for me.
Let me ask you this. Are we maybe pretty good against the run defensively?
Ooh. I'm trying to think back on all the numbers. I mean, I think
we're giving up, right now we're giving up 112 yards a game rushing. And that's including having played Navy.
That's a good number in itself. I am curious how much of that is good. How much of that is, hey, Memphis is good against stopping the run? Or is it, why in the hell are we going to run the ball if we can just kind of pass it on them all day? You know, you don't really have a full story being told by looking at just the run defense numbers, in my opinion. But it is, I mean, that's not to say we're not, right? I mean, looking back, North Texas had 30 carries for 102 yards. Arkansas State, 32 carries for 95. Navy had 58 for 215, and Mississippi State, 34 carries, 97 yards.
Which is a lot of carries for State.
That is a lot of carries for State. No one eclipsed the 4 yards per carry mark. You got pretty close at Navy with 3.71, which kind of is what it is there, right? North Texas has shown to be a pretty good run team, and they only got to 3.4 yards a carry. So maybe
I think I agree with you. That was more of them just saying, hey, I think we can shred this secondary, so let's sling the rock, right? It'll be interesting to see what happens. Right now we're top 30-ish in run defense. Something to keep an eye on the rest of the year, though, if we're able to continue to kind of stay in that mark and then maybe hopefully fix some of the passing defense and see if maybe this defense can't win us some ball games. I mean, they've done it the last 2 weeks, I'd say, probably.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx us, but Houston isn't exactly a crusher on the ground. So it looks like we could probably carry it through one more week at least.
Yeah, we'll see. Toon's been shown in showing some legs, though. I'm kind of worried about that. We've always struggled with a quarterback that can extend a play. So my beautiful was just the overall defensive effort, right? I mean, obviously we've talked about it. The offense wasn't able to get anything going at all scoring wise, finishing drives off, but I mean, shout out to the defense, right? They held Temple to 3 points. Temple came in, 100% on the year in the red zone. And that's not just 100% scoring. That was every time they'd made a trip to the red zone, they'd scored a touchdown. I think they were 12 of 12 coming into the game. They were 0 of 2 in the red zone on Saturday. So both times they made it in. One was a fourth down stop, obviously, early on. And the second was at the end of the game when we got the interception. But, I mean, just all around. They held Temple to 2 of 16 on third down. So that's back-to-back weeks, TJ, that we've... defense has been able to get off the field on third down. Is that a good sign of things moving forward? We're starting to figure out how to get off the field on third downs.
Yeah, I mean, especially since that was such a big deal in last season, specifically against ECU, and even I feel like we could argue this year against State. Right, was the inability to get off the field on third downs. We were atrocious against third down for a while there, and it seems like we are just getting better and better and better. I don't know if that's because, you know, this kind of comes back to the running game argument. Is it because the teams we're playing aren't that great, or is Memphis learning? Are things starting to click for these guys? Because, you know, it is a new system, right? We're not,
right.
You know, philosophies are relatively the same, but just things can click that kind of the more you go along. It was kind of the same thing with when Fuller was here, right? Later in the season, we're like, is Memphis good at defense? And then we got freight train.
You kind of got that with Mac too, either. Yeah. Like both seasons, late right? Season, you start out and you're slow, and then you kind of start figuring out second half of the year and you start thinking that the defense is good. I mean, that's what led to last year, kind of all the hype around the defense, right? The second half of 2020, the defense had significantly improved. You were bringing back Mac. You were bringing back most of that side of the ball. So everybody was kind of like, hey, this might be a year where the defense is like stout. And then kind of the same thing happened. They came out and struggled the first half of the year and then kind of turned it on. So, I don't know if it says more about UNT and Temple here recently, but something to keep an eye on, that at least the second half of the Arkansas State game through the Temple game, they've been pretty good third down wise defensively.
If you are looking for the third down litmus test, Houston is a 50% team on third down. They're in the top 20 in the nation of third down conversions. They have attempted 80, and obviously half of that is 40. That's pretty high up there. I'm not sure. Only 8 more teams have committed or attempted more third downs than them. So that's a big number to be in the top 10 in the nation on attempted third down conversions, and also to be at 50% conversion, which puts you in the top 20 of the conversion rate. So.
So definitely something to keep an eye on Friday. I mean, and then the other part, we talked about it, was turnover wise, right? The defense, it's been reiterated. They talked about how they, as a defensive unit, had worked on drills and takeaway stuff by themselves outside of practice. And I mean, it's showing. That's twice back-to-back weeks they've had that kind of tip drill going on where they get a pick out of it. But you know, we mentioned it, anytime the defense can get the ball back for you, it's a win, right? So 3 turnovers, obviously all in the fourth quarter on Saturday. But, I mean, just all around, I felt like it was a really solid day for the defensive side of the field. So that was my beautiful, and hopefully that trend continues as we move into Friday against the Cougs. Just another interesting note. Obviously, the adjustments we've made in the second half, I think, have shown in recent weeks. But, TJ, I don't know if you knew this. We are not only second nationally in turnover margin, we are second nationally in second half scoring, behind only Clemson, at 23 points a game in the second half.
I didn't know that.
It's going to be a vital thing to look forward.
I didn't even know that was a stat that they kept anywhere.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't either, but I guess they do. They keep first half and second half scoring stats. But second in the nation, not bad. We're making those adjustments at half. We just got to get off to faster starts.
We'll take it.
All right. Anything else from Temple?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to just think back if there's anything that we saw against Temple, or just that we're seeing consistently, and trying to figure out kind of what the issue is and how, like, what do we need to work on? Like, why was the offense so bad? You know, in the interviews, it was, I think we heard both Cramsey and Silverfield say, like, it's execution. Like, you know, one guy missed his block. And like, that is the case sometimes. If one guy misses their block, like on those damn wide receiver screens, if the outside guy misses his block, the play is pretty much blown up, right?
Yeah.
Is that that cannot be the case in every single play, right?
I mean, not every. I mean, you and I sitting down there, there are definitely plays where we're like, you know, damn, Pounders just got totally beat one-on-one and his guy freaking got in the backfield in half a second. And that is definitely a case where it happens. Or, like you said, when we do those quick screens out to a wide receiver and you know, early in the season, it was, I think Caden had missed a block or two doing that. And that's essentially just the play is immediately dead unless Gabe or whoever it is able to make that first guy miss, which, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I don't think it's every single play that it's one guy that's not executing. But I think it's just a combination of things that are adding up. Like you said, I mean, there were times Saturday where we were moving the ball fine and then we just weren't able to finish a drive, whether it was a drop or, you know, just I don't know. It's kind of hard to really pinpoint exactly what it is. I mean, I think it really, to me, at least boils down to the offensive line and the time that, you know, you got to give Seth. And some of that may be, you know, maybe Seth occasionally needs to throw the ball away sooner, or maybe he's not making a read when he should be.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it is a combination of the O-line not able to sustain their blocks, Seth holding on to the ball too long, and even some of the routes, they're just taking too long to develop. Like, I don't know.
I think there's some of that, and I think there's some of, I mean, there's been play calls where it seems like we run routes all to one level, and then guys just kind of sit there, right? That. They're not extending a route out or kind of moving with Seth. It's like, hey, I've run my route, and I'm sitting right here, but there's a defender there. So it's like Seth doesn't have a real option, you know?
Yeah. And all this to be say, like, to say that I think Kramsey is a good offensive coordinator, but I think he could work with more like shorter, quick routes. And again, I don't mean the wide receiver screens, but like kind of what you said, the levels, mesh, some of the, just the easier stuff to get something different out there, because it does feel like everything is a go and you're trying to throw a back shoulder pat, like a back shoulder, go route or, a 10 yard hitch. And then Seth gets in this situation where he's scrambling and everyone's just sitting still, like, they're sitting still and then no one is moving with him. Yeah. So it's like, hey, wide receiver, go find this grass and then just park there. And then Seth's running for his life and they're like, they're concreted in. They can't move or they're not moving with him. And it's causing Seth to run for his life or get sacked or, you know, stuff we don't need, neither thing that we need.
I mean, carrying the ball 20 times is
bananas.
I almost feel like, dude, I feel like I should have stuck with my half-joking Seth will be the team-leading rusher. At this point, with as many carries as they're getting split between Ducker, Asa, and Brandon, it may not have been a bad pick. I mean, he's
right.
I think he's third right now, and then he's not far behind on the team as it in rushing yards total.
You know, another thing that you and I talked about at the game, the offensive line or those delayed blitzes. North Texas worked us with them, and I know Temple did the same thing because you and I were talking about it. But basically, you know, the ball is high, and once the ball snaps, you know, an end is going outside, and then the outside linebacker is basically just waiting on everybody to be engaged in blocks and then coming late, and it's a free shot at Seth, and he's having to pull Caden away from a route to block. So that's one less guy out there. So now you have less targets and, you know, adding a blocker only saves you so many seconds. You know, it's just something that you and I talked about. And I think that they really need to address and figure out how to improve on some of those delayed blitzes and defending that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, on the other half of that, it's something I'd like to see us utilize a little bit too. It seems to be working seems well for everybody else. Let's see if we can't throw that wrinkle in. But yeah, so back to Seth. I just pulled it up. He's only 60 yards behind BT as the leading rusher. So if he keeps having to run for his life, could be a close call there at the end of the year. As long as he's able to stay healthy. He stopped sliding this week. I don't know if you noticed that. He wasn't sliding anymore. He started diving forward or falling forward, which, hey, that's what, 2-3 extra yards? It could be the difference in a first down and having to punt the ball, but you kind of also got to be a little bit careful with that as the star starting quarterback can't be taking a hit and getting injured.
picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, on to Houston. The Tigs Friday Night Lights welcome the most fraudulent team in America to Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium, Liberty Stadium. TJ was a big, I've been telling him the whole offseason Houston was fraudulent. TJ was a big, big believer in the Cougs.
I was, man. You have Clayton Toon, who's good. You have Tank Dell, who's good, probably the best receiver in the conference. All right,
I'm stopping you there.
On what?
What it say is what call? What'd you just say?
Nathaniel Dell, Tank Dell.
Thank you. His birth name is Nathaniel. Man, you can't call some dude. What is he? 5'9" or 5'2"? That dude is not a tank. Where did he get the nickname Tank?
Probably from his grandmother.
Did you watch Last Chance U? He's the Last Chance U guy.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Nathaniel Dell. Regardless, 5'10", 165. I'm not calling him Tank.
He's good.
I'm worried about our ability to stop old Nathaniel Dell on Friday. But Friday night, get out to Simmons Bank. The last 2 weeks' crowds have been atrocious. It's a Friday night. I think it's fall break. It's either fall break this week for some private schools, or you're going into fall break the next week. I know a lot of football teams have buys because it's fall break. I mean, get out to the freaking Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Support the Tigers. Right now, it opened at 4.5 as the Tigers favored. It's down to 3. It got all the way. I saw it, I think, yesterday at 2 or 2.5. It's back up to 3 now. Over under at 57.5. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, Houston was picked to be the conference. They were the favorites to win the American. Like I said, I think they're the most fraudulent team in the country. They were, what, 11-1 last year, lost to Cincy in the American Championship, but they played the, like, third to last or third to easiest schedule in the nation. I don't know. Dana seems to be having some issues down there in Houston. He's, I don't know if you've seen his last couple of press conferences, but
it's definitely getting dicey. I don't think
throwing players under the bus, blaming them, saying he's sick of dealing with them. You got player. You see those Houston guys fighting on the sideline at the Rice game.
My favorite was that he said he was sick of motivating them. Telling them what to do. Like, I don't remember what it was exactly, but
I mean, but like, isn't that your job?
Basically, dude? Saying like, I'm tired of doing my job.
Yeah, I don't know. Houston may have a problem.
Bodes well.
But yeah, so Houston coming in, they are fresh off of a loss to not just Tulane at home, but the third string quarterback of Tulane. Which, hey, Tulane looks to be like a good football team this year. Obviously went to Manhattan, knocked off Kansas State. But I mean, if you're supposed to be one of the top G5 teams in the nation, you were picked to win your conference, you can't be losing at home to a third string quarterback.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You and I are not fans of the first-string quarterback by any means. But they didn't even lose to the backup. They lost to the third string. This is like losing...
Their backup, second string, got like 5 snaps. I mean, it was a good couple series. He was 5 of 5 for like 75 yards or something. But then they had to bring in an old freshman third stringer in and...
This is like Peter Parrish coming in and working you.
Shout out to Peter, though. Peter could have been capable if he had...
more than a week to prepare? I don't know.
And a lot of that wasn't his fault. There were some passes he had that should have been tutties that were ended up picks.
Yeah.
Hard to win when you turn the ball over 4 times. Anyway, enough about Peter. Back to Houston.
I will say, you know what's shocking? Doug Belk is still there. He's the defensive coordinator at Houston. They were good last year on defense. I know it was the strength of schedule thing regardless, but only allowing 302 yards per game, and that is not the case this year at all. It's about 100 more yards per game, so 408.
They're right on par with where we're at. We're giving up right around 400 as well.
Yeah.
And their offense doesn't seem to be nearly as effective as it was last year either. So kind of taking steps back in both on both sides of the ball. But, I mean, coming in, they're what, 2-3? I mean, realistically, there's a world where they could be 0-5 coming into Simmons Bank on Friday. I mean, if you want a fun prop bet, I'm going to look up what it is at right now, but if you wanted something to throw in a little extra on, throw some moolah on this game going to OT, because that seems to be what Houston likes to do, is play overtime ball games. I don't know what that's at right
now.
We
have a kicker.
It's probably at close to plus 1,000 or something, I would imagine. Looking at OT games before, it's not available right now. But if you wanted a fun little prop, you could bet on that, and at least right now 3 of their 5 have gone to overtime.
I'll tell you what, this team is also kind of like our 2020 team, you know, thinking that you're going to have Kenny coming into the season and you end up not having Kenny at all, and they kind of were under the impression they were going to have Alton McCaskill until he obviously got hurt, so that kind of changes things as well. You know, not to say that's why they're so bad, but it definitely makes a difference.
Right, but it definitely. I mean, you got to change some things you're probably expecting to do schematically, and probably puts a little bit more emphasis on getting Nathaniel Dell the ball too, right?
Yeah.
But all right, let's look at it. What offensively for Houston are you looking at? What do they do well that you're going to be watching?
Clayton Tune. right? He and Tank Dell are pretty much what make up their entire offense.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, if you just look at, sorry, Nathaniel Dell, I don't want to offend you anymore. If you just look at Dell this season, although he's not a big guy, you've kind of pointed that out. Pretty big yardage a couple of times, broken 100 yards. He's the touchdown machine. He's up to 5 touchdowns this season. So kind of hard to stop. A lot of his passes are kind of deeper. I mean, you're looking at over 10 yards a catch. So it's not like he's doing work by just catching quick stuff underneath and getting stopped. Like he's actually making long plays.
He's got the ability to beat you deep for sure. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a vital. I mean, that's what I've got down is our secondary versus Tank Dell. I mean, if we're able to figure out a way to kind of restrict his touches and keep the ball out of his hands, I think you've got a pretty good shot. You know, force other people on the field to beat you. Like, he's, I think, 5th right now in conference as far as it goes receiving yardage. Like you said, he's up at the top for receiving touchdowns. Watching him, yeah, they like to send him on goes and beat you over the top. I mean, he's a speedy guy. He's got good hands, runs good routes. So, I mean, it's going to be crucial for Ruben or Ross, whoever's lined up on him, man, or Quindell coming over to help. Hastings, I mean, we saw a lot of Joel last week. I don't know if Hastings went out with an injury or what, but secondary's going to have to play a tough game and try to keep Tank Dell in check for sure.
Yeah, I think he'll probably pull a double team between or just have a safety over top helping the entire time. Which that could open the door for a freshman like Matthew Golden. And that's kind of what you want, I think, if you're Memphis, kind of put the trying to put the game in the hand of a freshman, someone maybe who doesn't have the game experience and it's just, missing some of the intangibles that someone like Nathaniel Dell would. There's no large tight end on this team. So my number one fear is out of the door. Here I am going to jinx us in here saying that I'm not worried about the tight end, but no one 6'5 plus coming out of the tight end spot. So Tank Dell or bust it for this offense, it seems.
Yeah, that's good. I will say, you mentioned Toon. He is surprisingly leads the team in attempts rushing wise with 59 on the year. For right under 200 yards. That's he's got surprising. two rushing TDs as well. So something to keep an eye out on. Is Toon using his legs to beat us, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a pretty capable running back in Brandon Campbell. 250 yards, 4.4 carry, 3 touchdowns. But we'll see.
Did you watch any of the Houston-Kansas game by chance?
I did not watch any of that. I was in Simmons Bank Stadium.
Well, I don't know if you watched it after, but
I've seen some highlights.
Yeah, that was a game where Toon was showing his legs off, just the ability to kind of move and keep things alive.
Yeah. Yeah, they did some read stuff with him, I think. He had a decent, maybe a 20-yard touchdown run, I think, in that one. But yeah, something definitely to keep an eye out on is we've talked about it. A QB that's got capable legs has kind of been our Achilles heel in the past. All right, what about defensively? Houston, what do we need to be keeping an eye out on?
It's a good question because defensively they're not too far off kind of from what we do as a defense. They have a good linebacker. I'm going to go blank on his name now. Nunnery. Nunnery's good.
Yeah, Manny.
Manny Nunnery, yep. He is good. They don't have the D end anymore. He's definitely moved on.
In Derek Parrish that was leading the country in sacks, but he's out for the year now. He tore his bicep in the Rice game.
Yeah, there's another. They have another defensive lineman that's pretty good.
DeAnthony Jones. Maybe. Okay, is that who you're thinking of?
That's not who I was thinking of. Nelson Caesar is actually who I was thinking of, but looks like very similar statistics wise. That is to DeAnthony Jones. So
yeah, I mean they're their two next sack leaders. A couple tackles for a loss. So Yeah, they've got a good, at least, I mean, he's second in the nation in pass breakups or passes defended, and Alex Hogan, their junior defensive back out of Houston. He's got 9, which ranks second in the nation so far this season. So definitely somebody to keep an eye on. And then I mentioned DeAnthony Jones. He's got 2 sacks and 2 forced fumbles already on the year. So
another name
to watch out for.
They have a DB, Abdul Latif Adu, who was someone the Tigers were actually after last season. He was a JUCO guy. And he obviously ended up choosing Houston. But he's actually been really good for them as well, which is slightly unfortunate that he chose Houston over Memphis, looking back on our past defense now.
Yeah.
I will point this out. This is completely off topic, but their long snapper, Davis Beal, is accredited for a quarterback hurry, and I need to know the story behind that and how that is even possible.
Interesting. Maybe they just threw him out. Maybe he played like nose guard or something in high school. They threw him out there.
Yeah, he got it versus Texas Tech. I don't know. I need someone to figure that out for me.
I have to go back and watch the film on that one. Shout out to their kicker, though. What a name. You see that? Bubba Baxa. Yeah.
Baxa, man. I'm pretty sure he's a transfer, though. He's
75% on the year, field goal, 9 of 12. He's 0 of 3 from 40-plus yards, so that's something to keep an eye on. They have not made a field goal longer than 39 yards. Longer than 37 this year.
Yeah, Bubba Baxa is a transfer from Miami.
And watching the film, Houston defensively, we talked about Alex Hogan. But one thing I noticed in more than one matchup that I was watching in both Rice and Kansas, their secondary was getting beat down the field on go routes, and not just beat by any. I mean, they were getting beat by white guys. Which I feel like
you're not going to say what I think you're going to say, are you?
That's not something you typically see a whole lot of, and I don't know if he's listening, but this could be a breakout game for old Colby Drake.
We're talking about a Colby Drake game.
It might be a Colby Drake game. We thought we were getting that with the UNT. He had a series where they literally couldn't stop him, and then I think he got like a stinger or something and missed the rest of the game. But watching film, could be a Colby Drake game. Keep an eye out on that.
No, but to your point, they Houston has not been good against the pass. Pretty similar to kind of what Memphis has been, and you know that's we've played, you know, the air raid with Mississippi State, so that kind of inflates the numbers a bit, right? I'm not gonna pat it and say that
maybe,
yeah. Well, I mean, they passed for 450. No one's come close to that. You know, 371 with North Texas is the next closest, and that's still a pretty big difference.
That was a freaking career high for the dude.
I know, but my point is, as bad as the Tigers' defense has been, that was one of those was against one of the nation's top passing offenses.
And, I mean, I will say last week, outside of what they passed for, 250, 80 of that came on one play in the first quarter, right? So, obviously did improve. I mean, does that say more about Temple and EJ Warner? Probably, but
yeah,
I see where you're going.
But I don't, when it's all said and done, if we can just get Seth back to being Seth and just get the offense, just even second half of Mississippi State, you know, just get him looking somewhat competent on throwing the ball again, I think we're good here, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that was one of my points to what, I mean, the offensive line, I mentioned it as a bad last week. I think it's vital this week. Like, if we're able to get Myers or Gamble back, I think that would be huge in what we're able to do on Friday. And like you said, when we've had that group in there, we've been able to let Seth be Seth. It's been since we've had the injuries to the line, the lack of depth there, that we've seen the offense go stagnant. And I think it really boils down to not having the time or protection to allow Seth to be Seth.
Yeah, I didn't like in Ryan's postgame. Maybe it wasn't postgame. It was the Sunday interview, but basically just saying like help was not coming for the offensive line. So
well, and then he said that in the postgame, but then he also said, you know, we'll be looking to see if we can't get some guys back this week. So it's like,
yeah, I didn't know where he was going with
their day to day. Is there a potential for them to be back, or are you implying no help is coming is like they're out for a while? So I don't know. That's something to keep an eye out on as we get out there on Friday and teams warming up to see if either Myers or Gamble are able to. I will say, I think 2 weeks ago, Gamble had a boot on, and last week I don't think he had one on. And it was definitely an ankle injury or lower extremity. So that could be a good sign.
Yeah, just healthy bodies at this point, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into it. Give me your first Teddy prediction.
I mean, he didn't get it last game, but we're just going to call that anomaly. It's Caden.
But he got second, right? He got the second one.
Yeah, he got the second one.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't know how it's not, but I'm going to be different and go with, I'm just going to say BT gets it.
That's fair. He's getting a lot of the looks down at the goal line. You know, a lot of people gave him, maybe, I don't want to call it flack, but he caught a lot of heat at the beginning of the year because he was kind of getting those ugly carries early in the game where it's just like, okay, here you go. Run at this defensive tackle full speed and get 2 yards every time. But yeah. Now I think he's kind of getting back into the rhythm. We're kind of seeing plays of him driving his legs and kind of continue to move the ball. Obviously up to 6 touchdowns, that's great.
4 in the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. He's going to continue to get those goal line carries. It's, you know, maybe we'll see them fake the power run and, you know, maybe something in the flats or, you know, something that is designed to look like a run, of course, and just misconception or like a misdirection, excuse me.
Do we score early on Friday?
I freaking hope so. We need to.
I do too. I think, I mean, you got to come out. This is a game you got to come out. It's almost, to me, it feels like that Navy game where you got to come out fast and score. I think Houston's capable enough where if you come out slow, you get down 10-14, it's going to be tough to come back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm also worried that I think their game plan for every game is to come out and score very fast, and that's just not been the case.
Not happening. Yeah.
So. That's I would something love to be a little bit not, concerned about. But.
Yeah, I would love to not come out Friday and our first possession be a 3 and out.
Yeah.
Or a 4 and out. First play, first down, and then 3 plays and punt. Let's get a drive up there. At least just give me a field goal at least.
I would say cross the 50. I'm happy with the first drive crossing the 50. Is that setting the bar too low? I don't know.
Yeah, it's too low. Let's get some points on the board. all right, give me your offensive player game ball.
Offensive game ball. I'm trying to think of someone maybe that we have not said recently. I'm going to say, I'm going to give it to Javon Ivory, actually. I think he had a good game last week, and he's starting to build some confidence and starting to get targets.
Okay. I've gone Javon a couple times. It hadn't happened. I'm going to go Seth got it this week. I'm going to go BT. I think he has a good game. I'm hopeful we get Gamble Myers back. Offensive line's clicking. Open up some holes. He has a tutty or two. I'm going to go BT. All right, what about defensive game ball?
I mean, this is almost like first touchdown at this point. Like, it's a lock for
Jaylen
one or
Allen
players.
Or Zay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to say it, but Quindell's kind of died off in terms of just having these just ridiculous games where it's like, come on, like no one can keep this type of production up. But Jaylen Allen and Zay Collins have, right? I think they've been really good. Consistently over and over and over again. So if you take one, I'll take the other at this point, unless you want to take a wild card.
Well, you pick one. I might go a different direction.
I'm gonna say Zay Collins. I'm shocked if it's not anymore.
There you go. Well, I'm going to go with Q because you just called him out and said he's falling off, and I think he comes out and has a massive game on Friday.
Good.
Let me get another pick. Give him his third of the year on a deep ball to little tiny Tank. I think he's going to have a big game.
Tiny Tank. You should tell him that right now. Call him Tiny Tank.
I'll do it right now. Little Tiny Tank. All right, the line, 3. Give me your score. Should we do score predictions anymore? I mean, last week was atrocious. 24-3, who could have seen that? Not me.
You know, it's funny you say that because in our, we've talked about it before, we have like a group that tries to guess the score and there's a large rolling pot. Everyone went high, right? It's the nature of the beast. We all went high scoring. Both defense is not great. And I sarcastically was like, someone needs to go low because everyone's going high. Like, this is the only thing that makes sense. Someone needs to go low. And they went low, but
not that low
to the floor. Yeah, they didn't get off the floor. So, I don't know, man. I'm worried about this one in terms of, what's the over? 55, I think?
57.5.
Oof, I'm going to go under for sure. In terms of the actual points, I'm trying. It's almost like a math game in my head, TBH.
I mean, Vegas is sitting at like a 30-27 game.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at. I do think it will probably be a 3-point game. I think that isn't that what the spread's at now?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. I'm going to say, this is tough. I'm going to say Memphis 27, Houston 24. I would take it right on the money of the 3 points.
All right. I feel like that's probably about where it's at too. Although just because we don't cover all that often, I feel like it's going to end up being like 28-27 or something. I'll go 30-28 Tigers.
2-pointer, okay.
They find a way to win. Can I change my game ball to Chris Howard for the game-winning field goal?
I thought about that. Is he, you're putting him under your offensive game ball?
Yeah. Hey, you get the game-winning score, that's offensive.
So, question, would you put, by default, does that make Joe Doyle your a defensive game ball candidate?
For punting?
Yeah, because Joey D's freaking banging them lately.
Yeah. He got a game ball.
I'm going to stick with mine. For Zay Collins, that is. But Joe Doyle, just know that you were up there for me.
We're thinking of you, Joe. Joe Doyle rules. All right, just some other quick news to touch on, TJ. The scheduling update for next season. We settled with Missouri. There are some people out there that old Lair and Apology were crushing him all over Twitter. We should have just taken the buyout and not had a game. Now you get a milli. And you're still playing an SEC opponent to a very drivable. I mean, that'll be a fun weekend, right? And you didn't, in the grand scheme, you didn't lose a home game, right? Because you replaced an away game with North Texas with the home game with Bethune-Cookman, which obviously isn't the same caliber of game, but it's not like we were playing 7 home games and lost one and now we're playing 6. So I think given the scenario and Missouri just trying to cancel the game, this was that's a good outcome. Would you agree?
Yeah. At first I was pretty pissed. I was like, all right, Lear, don't cancel this game. Like, what are we talking about? And then you realize you don't really have the leverage or the power there, right? You could, you had pretty much two options. You take the $250,000 buyout and you have 11 games and you scramble to find someone else. You had just had to do that to replace a game last second. You landed on Bethune-Cookman now that North Texas is in conference play. You were not likely going to find anyone that was going to be able to or that wanted to even play you. Like, I know that Georgia Tech has an opening.
Well, I mean, definitely not come here, right?
No, just even just to find a viable game there, right? Georgia Tech is about to have to hire a new coach. They're not trying to send, they're not trying to throw their new coach under the bus saying, okay, well, play Memphis now. I know your team's in shambles, but here you go. Play Memphis. Like, you're just setting your new coach up for a failure. And, you know, there were not only, I'd choose Georgia Tech as an example, there were a couple Power Five teams, but it doesn't make sense for any of them, A, to come here, or B, for them to choose Memphis, because there's a possibility they could lose that game. It just didn't make sense for them to take on that game, right? And then Memphis has no value in adding, I think someone joked about Illinois State. Like, you don't have any value in adding them. Like, you already have already added Bethune-Cookman. We've talked about attendance being an issue. You know what's not going to help you sell tickets? Playing Bethune-Cookman and Illinois State, for example. Those things are not going to help you. So, to me, at first I was pissed. I think it makes perfect sense now. I think what Veach did was pulled a rabbit out of his, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how he did it, but I mean, the whole situation is shit, right? Missouri doing that, not coming here. Obviously, it's a lot better to have, you know, Mizzou and Boise State on the home slate next year as opposed to Bethune and Boise. But now you've got a game in St. Louis that's very easily drivable. You could have a couple thousand Tiger fans up there. It's a good little road trip. You also play at Arkansas State, which is another very easy trip. So, like, yeah, you lost a home game, but you've got two out-of-conference road games that are very easy for your fans to get to. So I think given the situation, obviously, I don't, like you said, Laird, I don't know how he did it. I don't know what, maybe it's his relationships with Missouri that salvaged that and was able to get us a check for a milli and keep Missouri playing us. But I think given the situation, things worked out pretty decently, super decently.
You know, who knew that Laird applying for the Mizzou job was going to come back and benefit us?
Not me.
I don't know who would see that coming, but can't tell me it didn't help out.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think those it's all about networking. It's who you know, right? He's got relationships up there. It helped him out. All right, let's jump into this high cotton, TJ. Can first, we've alluded to it. I like it. It's a good can. Like I said, it's still kind of this like toucan feel where you got just like a generic label on one side and then you get like the cool graphic on the other. But
I need you to bear with me here. The high cotton cans are kind of like a mullet. So the logo side, the high cotton brewing side.
That business is in the front.
Classic business in the front. Then you turn that can around and you're like,
it's a party.
Oh, okay. We got a party going on in the back here.
Definitely like, mullet cans.
I love it. A 2 year old. Like, if anything shiny, it's got my attention. And they put all those little shiny accents in this can, so I'm good with it.
Oh, yeah. This is a great. You could jog with this can, and the reflectiveness is, I mean, you'd be fine out in the dark jogging with this can.
Plus, you got the jacked pig holding the large like stein of beer.
Yeah, what is that just like a Memphis flair to it because of the barbecue, or what is that? I mean, do pigs have any sort of significance in Germany? Or
yeah, I mean, I think so.
What?
I don't know. I feel like I saw a pig in the movie Beer Fest. Does that count?
Maybe. Yeah, that pig is jacked. This is a good can. I like the mullet reference. It feels on theme to the orange for Oktoberfest. Can wise, I'm going to go, I mean, it's not the best can. It is a solid can though. 7.2 on the can.
I kind of think that's what we gave the last can, the River King IPA. Very similar, obviously same brewery. Yeah. I think I like the River King IPA's better. Can better. I like the River King one better. Yeah. This one's cool, but I think the Pharaoh was cooler. I'm going to say...
I think I'm just in a festive mood, you know?
That's fair. I dare I say a 7 flat? I don't want to get...
I was going to say 7 flat, and that just felt like a rookie score.
Yeah, I don't want to get bombarded that I have to have a decimal. I think this is a 7 flat. Like, it's not a 7.1. It's not as good as River King IPA, but it's still cool, so I want it to be in the 7s.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'm going 7 flat, too. It's just a straight up 7. That's a good... It's a 7.
All right, Trey, what about the beer itself? What do you think?
This was good. This was a good Oktoberfest lager. What did we give Weizsäcker last week?
That's a good question. Truth be told, I actually had 2.
I think it was 7-8.
During last week's recording, so I don't remember.
I finished this one fairly early in the recording process, and I don't have any left. This one was good. I'm going to say 7-9. It squeaks out over last week, if I'm remembering correctly, on Weizsäcker's.
This one's definitely better. It doesn't have that like crazy malty aftertaste.
Yeah,
I like this one much
better. It's not nearly as malty. Yeah.
I don't remember what I gave last week's. I think this is in the 8s for me. This is really good for an Oktoberfest. Maybe not high 8s, but like maybe an 8-1.
I'm glad you didn't go 8 flat.
No, I can't do flats twice. I think this is good. I could definitely drink a couple of these before I'm just kind of like, you know, ADD kicks in and I need something new.
Yeah. Just out on the patio watching an October evening football game. I got you. Swag. All right. For TJ, this is Trey. Come with the cold beer. Stay for the hot takes. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Tigers on Tap. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and a comment wherever you listen to your podcast. If you are interested in content all about the University of Memphis Tiger Athletic Program, hop over to www.gotigers247.com. New articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for VIP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.